Donald on a Kitchen talks about food. Donald on a Kitchen talks recipes. Donald on a Kitchen talks about lots of other things on community radio. Welcome to the Donald on a Kitchen. I'm Donna Prisgintas, and Lana Noctegal is not here. She's home with a summer cold. So, Lana, if you're listening, get well fast. I don't sing nearly as well as you do. So, today we have a special guest, Judy Henry, and I will introduce you in a moment. But first, from our underwriters, Wheatsfield, your Natural Foods Cooperative, is just off Main Street in downtown Ames. It's open 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. daily. Anyone can shop Wheatsfield Co-op, and we do. So we have with us Judy Henry from the Berry Patch, which is in Nevada, right? So welcome, Judy.
Well, thank you for inviting me. This is a delightful time to be with you, Donna, and I appreciate you asking me here.
Well, because, and we asked you because it's blueberry season, and they have a wonderful U-pick out at the Berry Patch. So, first of all, tell us how to get there.
If you live in or around Ames, take Highway 30 East, about 9 miles, and look for the blue sign that says Berry Patch right before Southwest 4th Street. Turn there and go south 4 miles. And then turn east to the Berry Patch. It should take you less than 30 minutes to get there.
And I have to say, it's a beautiful farm. It's just lovely. And it's very child-friendly. I used to take my grandson out there for apple picking and berry picking. And so what's it like for the children out there, Judy?
The children enjoy the blueberry crop, I think, as much as any crop out there. Except maybe apples. They always enjoy that also. But blueberries are about their height. They're very simple for them to pick, and they like eating them all the time. They
right off the bush.
Right off the bush. And they don't ever seem to tire of it or want to go home.
Now, Judy used to run a preschool out there, so you can see why some of them probably want to stay.
Right.
So it's a not only go for the berries and the other fruit, but it's also a wonderful family activity. And you're open weekdays. What are the hours?
We're open Monday through Friday, 8 to 7, Saturday, 8 to 1, and we do close the farm on Sunday.
Okay, and are we having a bumper blueberry crop this year?
We are this year. They are so easy to pick, and many, many berries on each plant. Sometimes they look like a cluster of grapes.
Oh, they've been wonderful. I've been eating them from the farmer's market in everything I can think of. And Judy brought in some blueberry muffins that they bake and sell out there. They're absolutely classic blueberry muffin. Couldn't be any more perfect. So you can have those while you're out there. And then we got raspberry season coming up, right?
We will have some red raspberries in the fall, right?
Mm-hmm.
The black raspberry season just passed.
Okay. And what about the yellow ones?
We have a few gold ones, and we put them on top of reds and call them the cyclone berries. You have red and gold, so that's
okay.
Good.
So, and if you can't make it out to the farm, they are at the Ames Farmers Market. Do you guys also sell in Des Moines Market or not?
We haven't been there this year, but we are concentrating on the Ames Market at Main Street, and I'm at the East End in front of Brown's Shoe Company. I would love to meet you and have you visit me there.
And I got to say, if you don't get there early, sometimes the berries are all gone. They get snapped up. They're so good. So, Judy and Dean have had this farm since, what did you say, 69 or something?
Mm-hmm. 69 and or 70, yep.
Now they farm it with their son, Mike. And so they grow a lot of different fruit. I particularly like her gooseberries and her black and red and white currants, which you can hardly find anywhere else.
They are getting popular. People come for the black currants to make juice or jam, and they have a very intense flavor. You can also choose red currants, which are very pretty, made into a jelly, and I like to serve it at Christmas with turkey or pork. And we have a few white currant bushes.
It's the only place I've ever seen white currants.
And those little currants are clear or translucent, and they get almost a light pink color. They're very pretty.
And your gooseberries come in different colors, too, don't they?
They do. They're very popular. People like them green or let them ripen to the red stage. And I like to have a mix and make a very delicious jam. And, of course, they're very, very good in pie.
So that's that's one variety. And if they're green, they're not as ripe as if they're pink?
Right. They'll be a little less sweet, or some people say they're intense also. But if you like gooseberries, you like them green usually.
Well, my mama, who grew up in southeast Missouri, had a thing about gooseberries because she said they had a big gooseberry patch outside of where she grew up. And when I was, still living at home, they were so rare, you hardly ever found them at all. And I don't think you can get them in the supermarket or anything, can you?
I've never seen them in the store, but Iowa has them naturally in the timbers, and they're quite little. So if you're picking them, they're almost just BB size, and you think, oh, I'll never get enough to make a pie.
Oh, I know, and they are tedious to clean.
Have to pick off both ends, but when you have them hybridized, they're almost as large as a green seedless grape, so they're easier to pick.
Yeah, I just picked a bunch and threw them in the freezer last week. I was congratulating myself as I went through this pile. It really is tedious. You have to love doing it, but they're well worth it, and I'm looking forward to, some cold winter day when I open the freezer and just want that burst of flavor, and I'll make a nice gooseberry pie. Now, on the black currants, I make a black currant jam, and I season it with, of course, sugar, a pinch of salt, very tiny, just to perk the flavor up, a little black pepper, and I grate in some lemon zest. Enough that it's pronounced, and then cook it down, and then I run it through my food ricer and pop it in a jar. And a hot pack. So I just stick them in the refrigerator till I eat them all.
Mm. Some people make a cough syrup, or they do.
Oh, with black currant, huh?
And they like elderberry for that
yes,
as well.
Yes.
But that,
oh,
that
and
is
putting
very
them together,
healthy.
I would think so, because the, elderberry, which we're going to hit pretty soon,
August,
is really, really, it's very good for coughs. But oh boy, does it. On its own, it doesn't taste very good. So I like to put some acidic fruit in with it, which often is blueberries or, I don't know, for me the black currants are so precious, I hardly want to put them in the Sambucol cough syrup. Now, the other thing, Judy, did you know that one of the latest, hottest culinary trends is cooking with black currant leaf?
No. Didn't know that.
It's a good, you could use it in a tea even, but let's see, where did I have it? Oh, well, my Swedish neighbor, Ingrid Anderson, made a traditional Swedish, a schnapps kind of thing, where she takes the leaf of the black currant, not the red currant, and soaks it in vodka for a couple of weeks with a piece of lemon peel, and then it flavors it really, really nicely. And then I went out to Stone Barns, which is sort of the epitome of the IT restaurant on the planet, and they served me black currant leaf ice cream.
Oh, I like that.
I came home and made it, so it's just, it's like vanilla with one step further.
Is it an infusion? Did you have to?
I just took the milk, put it on the leaves, warmed it, and then I don't think I boiled it. I think I just let them steep like you would a tea. And then I, processed it for ice cream.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I was thinking I might try a panna cotta recipe with it, too. Same. Ooh. You could do whipped cream that way, too. Just infuse the leaves.
Oh, my. We bring in canes of black currants and put in vases because we just like that wonderful smell they
have. See, it's the smell. They really, and so when you get that into your food, I bet we could make a black currant leaf syrup, even.
Oh, we should try it.
Yeah, and then that would be an easy thing to use. Yeah, keep for storage. It would probably be very, very good.
That would be a nice try. I'd like something different like that.
Yeah, all right. We'll have an experiment, okay?
I like that. Now,
I wanted you to also talk about what happened to your strawberries this year. What do you think is going on?
Oh, we had a cold snap in early spring. The strawberries bloomed, looked normal. We had a very early crop. June 2nd is most unheard of.
Usually
we start the 8th to the 10th.
Mm-hmm.
And they came on quickly. They ripened quickly. The people were there to pick them quickly. And then it seemed like they were done quickly. And then we had a lot of hot weather, and they didn't seem to keep coming. The late ones came about mid-season, and they should have been later. So we're not sure, but all of our berry-growing friends had similar experience.
All over the state.
And we had a pathologist at our farm, and he said, I don't see anything unusual here, but we'll give it some more look. So we're hoping to hear some more.
So, but your assumption at this point is that it was weather-related.
I would
guess
that
myself. We had a very, very short, blink and you'll miss it, strawberry season.
We did. We're used to a 30-day. And we had more like 12, 15 days. And then we left the fields open for people because they could not believe it. I'm here to pick strawberries. And I said, well, the season is practically over, but you're welcome to look. And everyone who looked found strawberries, but it just wasn't easy or fast.
Well, but we are moving into the bounty of blueberry season.
We are, and we should make sure people know that they're just delightful to pick and more delightful to eat and use as you enjoy them at home.
And there's lots and lots of... I was looking through some of my more exotic cookbooks for kind of unusual flavors that you could stick into the blueberries. And the two things that kept coming up were kind of licorice-y flavored, which I have not tried. So I'm just throwing out there another experiment. But this one... is from the Herb Farm Cookbook, and he's calling it a nectarine, blueberry, and anise basil shortcake.
Oh, my.
So, obviously, I would probably not use nectarines. Right now, we're starting to get decent peaches, even some Missouri peaches.
Mm-hmm.
So, I love peaches and blueberries.
Yes, they're a great combination.
And it is because I find that the bright yellow on the dark blueberry is so, so pretty. So what he did in this recipe, you know, just use your shortcake recipe with nectarines and blueberries. And he made a syrup by taking 4 4-inch sprigs of anise basil or Thai basil or 4-inch sprigs of sweet basil and adding to it, it's a French liqueur called Pernod or Ricard, which is a anise-flavored, and that's optional. But basically, he's putting these anise or Thai basils into a syrup and then pouring that onto the peach and blueberry mix that he then puts on the shortcake, and he serves it. He recommends it with served with vanilla ice cream or cinnamon basil ice cream. So there you have a few exotic things you can try with all these wonderful blueberries. The sky's the limit there.
It is. But I hope people will just pick and snack and eat and enjoy them.
I think you should do everything with blueberries.
Right. A half a cup a day is what we want you to eat.
Get your antioxidants. Yes. And apparently blueberries freeze very well.
They do. You don't even wash them. You pour them into a freezer bag and freeze the amount you'll use in a recipe. 2 or 3 cups is usually a good measure. And enjoy them year-round.
Have you tried drying them?
I haven't yet. I have a dryer, but I didn't put them in
Lawn yet. Lawn is the great hydrator, but I did read that... for drying. I did read that it's good to just put them very briefly in boiling water because it splits the skin enough and helps them to dry.
That
and I've eaten dried blueberries. They're wonderful. Mm. And I suspect... blueberries are a Native American crop.
Yes, they are.
So they have lived on this continent forever, and the Indians ate them and used them. The first settlers in New England found that they were abundant, and they ate them cooked with meat, and they dried them for use in winter.
So there they go way back.
They do. It's a natural American food that we can all enjoy. So, Judy, tell me what you do with the white currants. Have you ever done anything special with the white currants?
I really haven't.
I should probably
use them in something or mix them in something because they are very pretty. And you think, what can we do with these? Maybe some of our listeners would have an idea for us.
Okay. They're very rare.
Yeah.
And the flavor is similar to the red, right?
It's very plain on white ones. You don't get much flavor.
Uh-huh.
The red ones are children friendly. They will pick them and enjoy them.
But they're pretty sour.
Well, they look so pretty on the sprig, and the children will pick them off of the bush, and then they want to eat them, and that's good. Or you can float them in lemonade. But they just aren't something common that anyone knows about. So we're just hoping we get some more recipes for them.
Oh, I'll have to try and think what. They're so delicate. I'm sure as soon as you cook them, they probably kind of disappear.
Yep. And they are very good in jelly. If you have red currant jelly, you will enjoy it very much.
Do you put the white and the red together for a jelly?
I should try that. I have not.
Okay. All right. I do have a little announcement here. Tonight, 6:30 to 7:30 at Emma McCarthy Lee Park, Wheatsfield is offering an herb walk with Nancy Beatty, the wonderful mother of Bronwyn Beatty Hansen, who's our council person member. So her mom, who is an RN and a clinical herbalist, is going to be doing an herb walk. You can call Wheatsfield for that, or Susan Jasper put that whole thing together. And then in the next few weeks, we're going to have a few more not at Wheatsfield classes. I think next weekend there's a next Tuesday. They're on Tuesdays. There's going to be a garden walk. You can find this all on the Wheatsfield site. And one of the things we're going to serve at the garden walk is a rose geranium scented cake. So have a look on the Wheatsfield class schedule. So that's tonight. There's an herb walk. It looks like our music is not working at all. So we won't have any music. I guess we'll just have to keep talking. So, Judy, tell us how you decided to become a farmer, because you weren't born on a farm, and neither was Dean.
No, but he always had a very healthy interest in growing things, and as a young teenager, he wanted to grow tomatoes and rented land in Ames and grew lots and lots of tomatoes and just always seemed to be interested. His mother was a great gardener, and I think she influenced him also. And as we looked for an acreage or a small farm to purchase, we wanted ground that we could use for trees, for the apples, and we wanted ground that we could use for the fruit. And the present location fit the bill perfectly.
Well, it's gorgeous.
And it just all seemed to go hand in hand, and our water supply was adequate, and we thought this is a good place for us, close to Des Moines, close to Ames. And it is very good for people to find us, and we're seemingly able to get all of our crops in a different season to grow, and people like to come for the
cherries, good Iowa soil.
The berries, yep. And for the apples.
So that's the Berry Patch Farm, and you go east towards Nevada. There is a sign on the highway where you turn right and follow the signs and go for the U-Pick.
Thank you.
Okay, that was Alice McGarry and Rick Exner playing one of their little tunes, something Rabbit Run or something like that. And we're back here with Judy Henry from the Berry Patch. So, Judy, tell us a little bit about the size of the farm and what's going on.
Well, we have this wonderful blueberry crop, and later we'll have some fall red raspberries. But very soon, as early as Iowa State Fair time, the first apples will be ready.
Oh, can you believe it? It's already starting on apple season.
Right. And they look wonderful.
Does it look like everything is going to be like a boom crop?
It does look very, very good. The red free are already coloring. The Paula red are in the trees. And we think it's going to be a good, good apple crop.
And how many apple trees do you have?
We have close to 2,000 apple trees and 500 are Honeycrisp. So there's lots of time and you can come and pick those all of September and most of October.
And I would say picking your own is a highly recommended experience. Also, you'll sell them at the farmer's market and at Farm to Folk. So what kind of varieties are we talking about here?
Well, let's go through just a few of the most popular. I've already mentioned the Honeycrisp. We have Jonathan. We have Chieftain.
Oh, Chieftain, I love.
Iowa State University developed that and gave it to us all in 1917. You'll want to try those. They're good keepers.
That's an old Iowa heritage apple. Good. What else?
Some others are Jonna Gold, Braeburn, McCoon.
Oh, McCoons are great eaters, aren't they?
Oh, yes. And mm-hmm. Fireside, great keepers all through winter. And then there's the beautiful Spy apple, which is excellent in baking. And a lot of people's favorite, the Granny Smith.
And Cortland's.
Yes.
I like the Cortland's.
A very good baker is Cortland, yes.
So this will all be you pick all fall. And right now we're in how many acres of blueberries?
We're into 12 acres. So we
That's
alternate,
a lot of blueberries.
Alternate the fields so you get the best picking the days that you're able to come.
Do you ever lose children in the blueberry patch? It's so big.
Well, I suppose you could, but it's not like a cornfield. You can usually see them. Very good.
Yes. And you have a field day coming up.
We do. It's called our farm cruise. We also have tours that you can take that day with the children on the hay rack, and we'll show you our...
Oh, and that's lots of fun. The children, it's hooked up to the tractor, right?
Yes.
And they get to ride around, every child's dream.
And they'll get to see the orchard, the pumpkin patch, where the blueberries and the strawberries grow. And they'll be able to pick apples. And the trees are dwarf or semi-dwarf, so there's no ladders to pick. You just go out and the children can easily find apples that they'll like.
Sounds wonderful. And what's the date on that?
September 17th, about 9 to 5.
Okay. Now, you know, Dean has done some wonderful kind of engineering projects out there. I want to say that more or less 8 years ago, we started to have all winter long Iowa grown, I think there was spinach, there were salad lettuces, and this all started at the Berry Patch because Dean had one of the first high tunnels.
Yes, we wanted to extend the season, and we wanted to keep busy during the winter time with goodies.
You keep busy during the winter time.
Besides all the pruning that has to take place with apples, with blueberries, with gooseberries, and with currants, that's a big job all winter long, plus attending the winter meetings, and we never miss going to those. We have to stay on top of all that's coming along.
So what kind of fruit grower meetings? Is that what you mean?
Yes, we go to the North American Strawberry Growers Meeting. We go to the Brambles Meetings. We sometimes go to the ones that are held in Minnesota, St. Joe, Missouri, sometimes Illinois. There's just many, many meetings. And there's people that we know that are researchers, and they have good up-to-date information on the insect pests and whatever else is coming down the pike, and you have to be on top of that and know what's going on.
So what do you use some kind of integrated pest management out there, or what do you do?
We do, and we scout, and we want to know what's in the bushes and what's on the fruit, and we can trap some and find out what is there before we do anything else. So we never just apply something. It's always because it's necessary or it's recommended, but it's very carefully done.
So you really minimize any kinds of pesticides?
Right. We always have. And we tell people that. We say you can enjoy eating our berries right from the plant because they are safe like that.
You used to have an organic certification, didn't you? No?
No, we've never gone that route.
Well, but you're so it's fairly, and what do you use for fertilizers then?
Well, different crops take different things. Mm-hmm. I know that after strawberry season is over, they put on a pelleted fertilizer, and Dean uses a lot of organic mulch and lots of goody to put on the blueberry crop, and that's side dressed with a little mulcher that we use, and we use a lot of wood chips, tons and tons of wood chips.
Is that from your trimmings from your fruit trees and stuff like
no,
that?
No, that is actually put through a chipper, and it goes back on the crop. But we get chips from different chip piles in the area around our farm from different cities, and we've been able to do that. Or they bring them to unload at the farm and say, will you take these chips that we have on the truck? And that is always helpful.
Great.
Yeah.
Now, you don't keep any animals out there, do you?
We don't anymore. We don't have a dog, a cat, or any farm animals anymore. We used to.
I thought I remember there used to be an old horse out there or something, right?
Well, we had Belgians in the 90s.
Oh.
We would give you a hay rack ride pulled by a team of Belgians out to see the apples and pumpkins, and it was a wonderful time.
Did you do anything else with the Belgians?
No, they never left the farm. They weren't in parades or they didn't go to shows. They were just for people to enjoy and
gorgeous.
For us to enjoy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yep. And you used to have a preschool out there, so you probably had a lot of...
It's we did.
Very child-friendly out there. Very,
yes,
very
I had all those chickens, ducks, geese. We had a little sheep. We had pigs. We had different things children could learn and enjoy, ducks they could feed, so forth. So, yep, that was
well,
all
I,
in the
I
80s.
Find that Dean is doing all of these. He's always been an innovator. And I remember when you started the salads, I used to get them at Farm to Folk, and I kept saying, Marilyn, make sure that Judy charges enough for these bags of salads so she'll keep doing this because it's a lot of work. You use the scissors and you hand clip every leaf?
Well, you have to, yeah. When you're down on your knees, you're crawling around getting all those good lettuce leaves and whatever else you have to pick. Tomatoes are a big job to pick and take care of, too. So, yep, you do what needs to be done.
Well, Dean has this very innovative hoop house where he... So you have a big wood stove in its own house, right?
We have a wood burner.
A wood burner.
And it also brings wood heat to the greenhouse our house.
It heats water, and then the water runs to heat your house, and then another line of warm water runs underneath the bed. Is that how he keeps them
right,
warm?
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
And then they're inside a sort of the plastic tunnel high hoop house kind of thing?
Right.
He's always inventing something, I must say. I want to really thank both Dean and Judy for doing so many innovative agricultural practices in Story County and then teaching younger other farmers to do this as well. So like Lee's Greens was a protege, and now he's doing a lot of the kinds of things that you do, and you can see him also at the farmer's market. It's quite an adventure you've lived out there on that farm.
ISU has some bees out there. They come out and do different experiments or trials on the apples. So we're in close proximity with pathologists and people that study the insects. And right now we have a group that came out and want to put out seeds to help the butterflies, especially the monarchs. And we've given them permission, so they're going to be out there doing some seeding, and that's all going to help, too.
They're putting in milkweeds and stuff like that?
All kinds.
Yeah.
They're doing quite an extensive seeding, and that will help the pollinators, and we're all for pollinators. I grow flowers that they like, and Dean does things and helps do a lot of things to keep the bees healthy. We grow buckwheat for the bees, and our beekeeper says their bees have never been happier.
Good. So at least you're, well, of course you need the bees. Otherwise we won't have fruit, right?
Right. And the beekeeper leaves them there for a long, long time so they can enjoy all the crops that we have.
So the ecosystem is looking pretty healthy. Oh, what about, you must have a million songbirds too.
Yes, we have a good, healthy songbird population.
I really want to encourage everyone to go and visit the Berry Patch Farm because it's so, so pretty. And it's a lovely family venture, Judy and Dean Henry and their son Mike, who's carrying on the tradition. And so it's south of Nevada, and it's open mostly weekdays and Saturday mornings. So go visit the Berry Patch Farm.
Thank you so much.
back. This is the Donna Lana Kitchen Show on KHOI without Lana today. So we're missing her, but she did give me the garlic and tomato report. I think one of the reasons she's down and out is because they harvested several thousand heads of garlic. And it's beautiful looking garlic, but I think it must have, and it was in the hot, hot heat, and she must have just been exhausted from that. We did go out. Oh, and by the way, happy birthday. It's Joe Lynch's 70th birthday today.
Oh, good.
I know. Happy birthday, Joe. We went out and took a look at the tomato patch out there. She's got 30-some varieties of heirloom tomatoes, and there's still the cherry ones are starting to ripen up. But not quite pickable yet, but we are going to have wonderful tomatoes soon. And as Judy pointed out, we're into the sweet corn already. I got a bunch at the farmer's market this year. It's been delicious. I even got red peppers at the farmer's market.
I had an eggplant.
That's true. I saw them. So we're really, we're midsummer now here.
But see how early that is. Yeah. All our crops were 2 weeks early this year.
Yeah. Right. Well, I was kind of stunned when I saw the eggplant and the pepper this must be climate change.
My goodness, we don't usually get that till the end of July.
Yeah.
First of August for tomatoes, and there's tomatoes at the market. Oh, my.
I know. We've been already having good tomato bruschettas at home.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm running out of a program here. Judy and I, did you have anything else you wanted to tell us about your wonderful farm?
Yes, we're planting many cherry trees, and people are happy to come pick tart cherries, usually from the 4th of July for about 4 weeks. And this year the season has already passed, and that was very early, but we like Montmorency and some of the other cherry
And those are the,
cherry
tart,
trees.
The tart ones.
Yes.
You don't have any quick tricks for pitting, do you?
Well, you can use a paper clip. One of the quick tricks for working on strawberries you may never have tried is to take a regular drinking straw and take it from the bottom of the strawberry and push it clear up to the cap, and the little green cap pops right off on the top of the straw. And it is so easy and fun.
Does it leave a hole through the whole strawberry?
Yes, it leaves the hole, but you don't have to eat that anyway. That's usually a little core in there, and it's translucent in the straw, and it's really cute. Children can do it, so try that.
Well, that's a good tip. I have gotten some cherry pitters, the old hand crank kind. I found them at the Colo auction a few times. It's really messy.
It's really messy. All the juice comes out, and you have to be able to transport that juice home if you use it on the farm. And I hardly ever bring it out anymore because people say, oh, I have a pitter, and I'll be fine. And they pit them by hand a lot, too, so that helps.
I'm just trying to think what I know. My grandmother had lots of cherry trees. I can just see her sitting in the rocking chair, but I don't think she used a paper clip. I wonder what she used.
They usually just use their finger and pitted them. But
paring knives. Everybody always had a paring knife in their hand.
But they're very popular, and some people eat tart cherries out of hand like we eat raisins, and some people cook them all. Some people make jam. But the allure of cherries is growing.
They are. They're so wonderful. And, but they're even more work than gooseberries.
I would agree with that, yes.
That's why we love apples, They're so, you get a lot of fruit for the labor involved, I must say, anyway. So,
you're right.
A lot of ums here. Any other berry patch stories, famous stories?
Well, we just appreciate people visiting the farm. We have people from long distances, even as far away as Omaha, Minneapolis, Chicago. They do make a trip. If they're on their route somewhere else, they want to stop and see us. There's a lady coming tomorrow from Rochester, Minnesota, to pick up blueberries. And so people find out about us, and they like to see it. And some can't believe that there really are blueberries growing in Iowa.
12 acres
folks,
of blueberries.
There really, really are.
And Judy brought in this nice recipe from Deal's Orchard. It's called Blueberry Cream Cheese Dip. And so you just take 4 ounces of softened cream cheese and a half a cup of blueberry sauce, and you mix them together. I'm assuming that the, you know, you let it come to room temperature. So how do you make blueberry syrup?
Blueberry syrup is probably the easiest thing there is to make for people that want it over cake or ice cream. It takes 3 cups of blueberries, 1/4 teaspoon salt, 3 tablespoons of cornstarch, 2 tablespoons lemon juice, 1 cup of sugar, and 1 cup of water. Just mix that, cook till it gets thick, and stir it. Cool it and put it in the refrigerator, and yum yum, you're ready for company.
So you don't smash it or anything?
No, I don't think you need to. If you cook it a tiny bit, the skin will pop.
So okay, so I wouldn't have to put it like through the ricer or
anything. No, I think you're okay. Just fine.
So it's
just
really blueberries in syrup, more or less. They make their own
and
juice.
It makes a beautiful color. It's like a light purple pink, and it looks beautiful.
Well, I'm actually a big fan of cornstarch because it's really so easy to work with. And you do just have to make sure it comes to a boil, because the cornstarch won't set unless it's reached boiling temperature.
And that'll work for you. Be prepared.
And here's another one. Chilled fresh blueberry pie.
Mm-hmm.
This one. How do you...
That one
have you made that one?
Yes, it doesn't have
so
to be
baked. So that's a no-cook recipe.
Right. You just cook sugar, cornstarch, salt, lemon juice, and blueberries. You take them from the heat, put in about 1 tablespoon of butter and a little bit of lemon juice, cool it, and put it right into a baked pie shell and serve it with whipped cream. Yum. Couldn't be easier.
Have you ever made that with a graham cracker crust? That would be really
easy,
too. It
would probably work fine that way, too.
So it's kind of like the blueberry sauce, but it's in a pie, and then you put the whipped cream.
I wonder if you could even use that Oreo cookie crust.
Oh, a chocolate blueberry pie? Oh, we're getting out there, Judy. Boy, oh boy, oh boy.
Chocolate's good anywhere, right?
Yep, and so are blueberries.
Right, they are.
Excellent, excellent.
Very good.
Well, thank you for coming today. And
my pleasure.
Do you have any savory blueberry recipes? I know one. It's not exactly savory, but it's kind of like an omelet with the blueberries cooked into it. Tiny little bit of sugar, or you can make it like a frittata.
Oh my!
And
that
serve it
good.
For breakfast instead of pancakes or something like that. So you're having you make your omelet, and then when you put it into the pan with the butter, then you just drop the blueberries in it and sprinkle some sugar on it. And then let it cook, and then flip it over, and then serve it out on a plate.
Nice. I find myself putting the fresh blueberries on my salads. I like grapes now and blueberries in my salads, and I think it's just a summer thing. But it adds a little color, and it looks so pretty with the tomatoes and whatever else you put in there.
Can't go wrong with blueberries. Speaking of tomatoes, I made this is my standard summer thing where I mix, because we have tomatoes and peaches come pretty close to the same season. So I saw some yellow tomatoes at the farmer's market, so I got them, and I cut them up into like half-inch cubes, and then I cut up some peaches the same size. And if you're using yellow tomatoes and yellow peaches, then it looks like a tomato salsa. And then I put in a little bit of basil, some salt and pepper, and a dash of olive oil. And I serve that on a bruschetta, because the tomatoes and the peaches are really, really wonderful together.
Good texture change.
Yeah, and you think you're getting tomatoes, and when you hit that bite of peach, it's always a little surprise.
Sounds good.
So lots of fruit for this season. Eat up. It's good for you. And don't forget to go to the farmer's market. This is the Donna Lana Kitchen Show. Without Lana, I'm sorry to say. Get well, Lana. Happy birthday, Joe. And come on back next week. Thank you, Judy Henry from the Berry Patch.
Thank you for having me.
The green of September is the green of the prairie hay. The green of an apple orchard on a summer day. Stay in the season when it turns to slip away. Go south for the weekend, take it down the state holiday. There are still a few stars in the sky. There are still a few fruit on the tree. There are still a few oceans of prairie flowers. There are still a few fish in the sea. On a whim, down on the southern tier, and far out on a limb, up in the branches with the empty robin's nest, there was the apple that the harvest grew. But there are still a few stars in the sky. There are still a few fruit on the tree. There are still a few oceans of prairie flowers. There are still a few fish in the sea. Our pale apple blossoms are of the distant past. The Cortlands and the Macintosh, they ripen much too fast. Spies and the ballrooms are the keepers of contrast. You'll find it's worth waiting for the apple that will last. There are still a few stars in the sky. There are still a few fruit on the tree. There are still a few oceans of prairie flowers. There are still a few fish in the sea. So bitter and so cold. Upstate you'll need a sunny memory you can hold. One that grows sweeter while the rest are growing mold. One that stays with you when the green leaves turn to gold. There are still a few stars in the sky. There are still a few fruit on the tree. There are still a few oceans of prairie flowers. There are still a few fish in the sea. There are still a few oceans of prairie flowers. There are still a few fish in the sea.